What's up, Atlanta? Happy Wednesday with Turtle. We're with you for the full four. But Day-Day Lewis, when I see you later before Prep Sports Nation tonight, you better have your gloves, my guy. Put them up, because we going to be boxing, because there's 7 minutes of my program. I ain't never getting back. It's all right. Coach, after a week like this, and to have Coach on, you got to let the people hear it in the 5 o'clock hour. I understand. Kind of. Or we'll see. Maybe I'll just be happy because it's like the end of the day and Day-Day's coming in, and it'll just be two ships passing in the night.
There you go.
That's what it'll be. And I know Mike Conti sitting there listening, just saying, Turtle, if you'd shut up and just do your show, you'd stop wasting more time. So I get it. So we won't waste any more time. Oren Romaine, something happened today. About, I don't know, 7 hours ago.
What was that?
I saw a tweet.
A tweet.
From Dan Orlovsky of ESPN. Great ex-quarterback turned analyst for ESPN on NFL Live. They got a great show with Swagoo and Laura Rutledge and Mina Kimes and the whole crew. He tweeted something out from his personal account doing one of their infamous breakdowns that they do such a good job of. This breakdown featured your Atlanta Falcons.
It had to be completely positive. They had to talk about all the good things
all
the that
great
the Falcons
things.
Are
you know
doing
what? They
right
actually
now.
Were just re-reviewing the Vikings tape. They didn't even...
Don't need to see anything else.
Nope.
Just look at one game,
yep,
the second game, and nothing
that's
else.
That's exactly what happened. So in all caps, he tweets, stop living in the pistol. And my heart lit up.
It's a good thing the Falcons don't run like more than half of their offense in the pistol.
And are last in the NFL, Oren. You ready for this? 4% deep ball rate. 4% with Michael Penix Jr. as your quarterback.
He must not have a really good arm.
How is that even, like, imaginable? Okay, so let me get to the point before I get too sidetracked. And for 4.5 minutes, him and Marcus Spears, Orlovsky from the quarterback position, former NFL player, Swagoo from the defensive tackle position, former NFL player, went into a minutia second-by-second breakdown of everything that's going wrong with the Falcons offense, specifically relating to why the pistol formation is so predictable and why it limits the resources of Michael Penix Jr. and Bijan Robinson specifically. It is a masterclass breakdown. If you haven't watched it, and most of you have, which is the point that I'm getting to, go check out my Twitter at C Thomas Radio. I posted a one sentence or in caption above the video when I retweeted it. I said the following: Falcons fans, if you do one thing today, watch this video. I implore you. It has now gone on to be, by far, my most interacted tweet with ever. And I've been on Twitter since 2010. To the tune of 52,000 of y'all and climbing have seen this retweet of this video with over 600 likes. And Oren, here's the craziest part. Here's how I know Falcons fans are taking notes. Over 100 bookmarks of this tweet, so they can go back to it and reference it.
See it later on.
Y'all, I hear you. What I can't do, and all of this is to say the following. Again, if you haven't seen it, again, a masterclass. All the credit. This is not my genius coming up with this tweet. I give all the credit to Dan Orlovsky and Swagoo. I just retweeted it imploring Falcons fans to watch it. And again, now up to 52,000 of y'all have seen it. So I know you're watching it. And 100 of y'all have bookmarked it to make sure you got it in your holster for later. So I see you. Here's the point. Zach Robinson is the issue. But here's what we can't do. Because we spent all day yesterday talking about it. We spent the flyover talking about it on Sunday night. I can't sit here for the next 3.5 hours and just pound on Zach Robinson again. That's not like you can't kick the injured horse when he's down. Like, Zach Robinson spoke today. We'll let you hear from some of that. And we'll make our own assessments. But I'm not just going to sit here again for the next 3 hours and change and just crap on Zach Robinson again. We did that. It's not fair. It's not fair to him. It's not fair to the Falcons. That doesn't mean he doesn't deserve blame. He absolutely does. But we've done that. We did it last week. We did it this week. So I think the real question now is, yes, he needs to prove to us that he can do the job effectively. And we'll see if moving down from the booth helps do that. But here's my question to you, and I got the rest of this hour to take your calls. 404-726-0929. Because of all of this, are you now worried, because I am, about the development this year of Michael Penix Jr.? Because, guys, he's going backwards. Y'all, he's going backwards. Go watch the games from last season and watch the first three starts. He looks lost. He looks jittery. He looks uncomfortable. He looks like a guy that is getting confused by the defense. He refuses to let it rip and throw the deep ball. So here's my question to you. Because of everything going on with the Falcons right now, are you concerned about the growth of our quarterback, which was supposed to be the number one thing that we took out of this season beyond breaking the playoff drought, to know for sure that Michael Penix Jr. is the man? And if Zach Robinson can't do his job and he continues to fumble the bag with Michael Penix Jr., now I become worried about Penix's growth. That doesn't, and these are two different things, by the way. I'm not saying I don't think Penix Jr. is the guy, because I do. I saw enough last season, saw it in college, love his swag, love his energy. But if your offensive coordinator is that inept and is limiting the growth and development of your quarterback, that is a huge problem. And we're not going to know, quite frankly, until much later in the season to make a definitive statement on that. And I do think he'll have a bounce-back game. He can't play worse against the Washington, right? I mean, I guess never say never, but I mean, really. I mean, he was about as bad as he could be. Even Raheem Morris, Mr. Positivity, said several times today during his press conference the quarterback play was flat-out bad. So here's my question to you, Falcons fans, because I am now. Am I in panic mode? No. And don't call up saying that, because it's not panic mode time. It can't be after three games. But I am a little worried now, after what I've seen and heard over the last couple of weeks, about the growth and development of QB1. Because if Zach can't do his job effectively and efficiently, then Michael Penix Jr. is not going to get to where he needs to go. And this is how I know that for sure. I tweeted this quote out as well at C. Thomas Radio. You can check it out along with everybody else that's checking out the viral tweet of mine about Dan Orlovsky's breakdown. Michael Penix Jr., at least in press conferences, shows deference to offensive coordinator Zach Robinson.
Deference, that's a fun word.
Yes, in terms of how the offense. I was in a serious ass mood today, Oren. I'm sick of this Falcons crap. I'm breaking all the stops. Again, Michael Penix Jr., at least in press conferences, shows deference to offensive coordinator Zach Robinson in terms of how the offense is called. He says that they collab on certain preferences, but that he loves the offense in general. He cited execution issues several times. Penix has made just 6 starts. It's on Zach. So essentially what I'm saying is Michael Penix Jr. is not going up to Zach Robinson with a list of demands. He's applying the offense that Zach Robinson is giving to him and following the plays, which means it's even more important for Zach Robinson to get this thing right. So let's talk. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Because of what happened on Sunday, because of what's happening with the schedule, are you now worried? And because, unfortunately, of the state of the offense and the offensive coordinator, are you worried about the growth and development of Michael Penix Jr. for the rest of the year? Or are you think Penix is great? He's going to be just fine. He'll rise up, pun intended, above Zach Robinson's miscues. How do you feel? 404-726-0929. He's only made 6 starts, y'all. Like, not even half a season yet. That's a lot to ask of him to overcome right now. And that's what I'm worried about. I'm not worried about him as a player. I'm worried about the situation around him. Like how the Jets ruined Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold and Geno Smith. And how the Colts ruined Anthony Richardson. I'm worried about the Falcons ruining Michael Penix Jr. right now. Do you agree with me, or you think Penix is going to be? Am I taking 1 week with too much of a grain of salt here? 404-726-0929. When we get back, we'll take your calls. Are you worried about the growth of our QB1 because of the state of this offense? 404-726-0929. And again, thanks to the now, just since I've came on the air, now 55,000 of y'all that have checked out the tweet that I need everybody to go watch. Again, I didn't do anything. I just said, Falcons fans, I implore you to watch this video. Just an outstanding A-plus job by Dan Orlovsky and Marcus Spears on ESPN breaking down what's wrong with the Falcons offense. Your calls are next, 404-726-0929. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Aside from a couple of beauties in the first game of the season where he had to throw it 42 times, which is not the game plan, so that's not a good thing. Just remember that, please. Michael Penix Jr. has not looked good. As a matter of fact, he's looked pretty awful. And last week was the cherry on top. And we've all been pointing the finger, and I think rightfully so, at Raheem and Zach Robinson for letting down their franchise quarterback again. Michael Penix Jr., and it is Chris Thomas tonight, by the way, Turtle, with you until 10 o'clock, taking your calls the rest of this hour, so get on board. We got full phone lines right now, so I'm going to get to your calls in just a second. Again, this is in regards to Zach Robinson making sure that Raheem Morris and Michael Penix Jr. are comfortable with how the Falcons' offense plays. And right now, that's not the case. Michael Penix Jr. is a guy who's made 6 starts in his career. He's not going to walk up to the offensive coordinator like Aaron Rodgers and start making demands. He has to play within the system. And right now, that system is failing him. And I am worried that if it is not corrected soon, we are going to find ourselves in a situation where mechanics, fundamentals, confidence, messaging gets all out of whack for Michael Penix Jr. Or not. Or maybe you think, Turtle, chill, everything's going to be fine. But I'm worried because everything that made him great last season for those 3 games, I haven't seen hide nor hair of it this year. So what do you think? 404-726-0929. What is going on with this Falcons offense? Paul leads us off. Paul, go ahead.
Thanks, Turtle, for taking my call. What show do you work with during the day, Turtle? All of them?
No, not anymore. I was the producer for Dukes and Bell, but now I got my own show, so that's what I focus on.
Congratulations. I love Dukes and Bell, too. Hey, man. So listen. So here's, I want to make about 4 points, and I'll do it real quick.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you a question.
All right.
First of all, I think you're dead on, but I don't think it's Zach's fault. I think the fact of the matter is you're right. Penix has got 6 ball games, 6 starts in his life. They didn't allow him to get any snaps in preseason, which I'm a high school coach of 42 years. And I got to tell you, I'm not going to 7-on-7s during the summer with my starting quarterback on the bench because I don't want him to get hurt. I'm getting him reps. I'm getting him time. I'm getting him plays under his belt so he feels comfortable. Right now, Penix is in his 3rd preseason game in my eyes, and he just hasn't had a chance to get his timing down. You get in there and you start playing real time with these professionals on that defense that's been watching film on him all week. And you're exactly right, Turtle. You put him up against a wall, but that's not Zach's fault. That's not Zach's fault. That's the head coach's fault. That's the head coach's fault that's become a yes man to Arthur Blank. And everybody thinks that Arthur Blank doesn't have anything to do with this team. You are dead wrong. Because there's no reason him or Cousins shouldn't have taken any snaps during the preseason.
So, wait, Paul, Paul, hang on. I'm confused. You think Arthur Blank told Raheem Morris not to play Penix in the preseason?
I think Arthur Blank has a lot of influence. Whether he said that or not, I just think people may think he's not influencing things. I do think he influences things. And so I don't like to blame – I don't like to get rid of a receivers coach. I don't like getting rid of Koo. You know, I think they're – you know, if you want to fire somebody, fire the special teams coach that had one of the best kickers in the country in the last four seasons on our team – with all kind of accolades, you look up our special team coach, all it does is talk about Koo's accolades. Now they fired Koo, they get a guy in, and now he's got the yips, and we're right where we started. Now they're going to end up having to re-sign Koo.
Well,
they should.
Paul, I appreciate the phone call, and thanks for the kind words, and thanks for checking in. They can't. Oren, Koo is now in a kicking competition for the New York Giants. Graham Gano is out this week. And it's down to Koo and one other guy that I've never heard of, quite frankly, that are kicking for their job with the New York Giants. And if Koo does well, there's a chance he could be their kicker for the rest of the year if Gano's hurt. So, Paul, unfortunately, they can't even go back to Koo if they don't want to. And I do agree. Marquise Williams, not a good start to the year so far. Two really bad games and one good game. Much like the rest of the team. Xavier's up next. Xavier, what do you think?
Hey, what's going on, Turtle? I felt like it was bad development when we first started. We first started asking why Michael was on the center, and they were saying, oh, well, he's used to being in the pistol and the shotgun in college. That's not how that works, because this isn't college. This is the NFL. I understand if you want to infuse some pistol and, you know, some shotgun in there to make him more comfortable. But at the very start, as soon as he set foot on the NFL practice field, you should have had him taking snaps in the center regularly. You should have had him taking some play actions regularly. The fact that we're in the second season of Michael Penix and he's still not comfortable in the center means you've been stunting his development since he got here. And this isn't something you can change in the middle of the season. You can't say, okay, well, clearly the pistol isn't working, so we're going to start running some more play action and some more on the center.
Well,
you can't do
Xavier,
that
hang on. I'll let you finish, but let me ask you this first. What does it mean to you when Penix comes out to say today that he loves the offense, meaning all of it, including the pistol? Does that matter?
Yeah, it matters to me because that means you're enabling him, right? So, yes, I understand that you love the pistol, but loving the pistol doesn't mean it's going to be successful here in the NFL. Like, when have you seen a successful playoff team run the pistol that much without running the play action and running from under center? Like, I understand you love it, Michael, but you're going to have to adapt to the game, which is the NFL. It's that simple.
No, Xavier, it's a great call. I appreciate it, as always. Thanks for checking in. 404-726-0929. I agree. You have to adapt in this league. The NFL is a league of adaptation. Down to individual games, you have to adapt from half to half, from what's working and what's not working. If something's not working, you got to fix it. And to run the pistol as much as they have, to Xavier's point, to run the play action and the deep ball infinitesimally small percentages is not a good thing for your franchise. You have to be able to get those parts of your game working. The only thing that's worked so far is running Bijan Robinson. You have one passing touchdown on the season, and it's a 50-yard screen to Bijan Robinson. Do you realize that? One. And it wasn't even a traditional passing touchdown. It's unacceptable. It's just unacceptable. Danny's up next. Danny, what do you think?
Hey, I want to answer your question. Your question to the callers is, are you concerned about Michael Penix? And on a scale of 0 to 10, with 10 being the most concerned, it's about an 8. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've watched this guy way back in college when he played at Washington, and I watched him watch his whole career. I'm going to disagree with you that he's been awful as a whole, but here's where the big concern, and I understand that everybody's criticizing the pistol and the offensive coordinator, and I'll get to him in a second. I'm going to take a shot at him, but here's the thing. Michael missed so many open receivers, just flat out missed them, that were wide open on Sunday. And I was like, what is this? Lack of confidence, footwork, I don't know. So that's a real, real concern. But here's my question to you and the criticism I have, and I'm not as critical as everybody else at the whole package. I'm really focused on Sunday. Why in the world, after the success they had in Minnesota running Dejon Robinson, why wasn't that the game plan again? First and second down, first series? They're throwing the football. Where did the game plan from Minnesota go? That's my question. That I just can't. And one other thing, this guy's never been an offensive coordinator before. It's his first year. Thanks for the time.
I appreciate it, Danny. To answer your question, my hope, Oren, is that was game plan specific. That was because they thought that was the best way to beat Carolina. Because we know Carolina's got those big hosses up front, much like Tampa does. Guys, Derrick Brown, coming off of surgery that cost them a season, ate the Falcons lunch. Ate the Falcons lunch, just like Vita Vea did. There's film out there, Oren. There's film out there, Danny, just so you understand, of Derrick Brown on a play moving laterally in the line of scrimmage to get to the point of attack where Bijan Robinson was, and literally throwing the lineman in front of him to the side like you were throwing away a wrapper into a garbage can. Like, literally just brushing it aside, like a little trick shot play that you want to get the piece of paper, almost like how Tony Reale did at the end of Around the Horn, if you know what I'm talking about. We got destroyed up front again. So I think, Danny, the answer to your question is that it was game plan specific. Because otherwise, I don't know. Just add it to the pile of the list of things that are going wrong with the Falcons right now. Okay, I see Tony, Ricky, Steve, and Jake. You guys are up first. When we get back, just hang on. We got, one line open. One lucky caller gets to get in line next to talk to yours truly. We got about a half hour more to take your calls in this hour, and then we'll be taking your calls all throughout the show. 404-726-0929. Again, the question, with everything going on with the offense and the coordinator and the head coach, what is your level of concern about the growth of Michael Penix Jr. this season? I've seen him go backwards. I'm worried. What about you? We'll take your calls next. We got full phone lines, so I'm going to waste no time taking more of your calls at 404-726-0929. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. Just want to remind you real quick, for the most comprehensive coverage of Major League Baseball, turn to our Braves insider, Grant McCauley, every Sunday for From the Diamond on 92.9 The Game. Grant will bring you up to date on the latest Braves news with exclusive interviews and analysis you can only get from the Diamond. This week's episode is Saturday at noon, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today. And by 50 Floor, visit 50floor.com for your free in-home estimate. It's From the Diamond with Grant McCauley this Saturday on 92.9 The Game. Back to the Falcons conversation. With everything going on with the offense, what is your level of concern about regression for QB1? Got a lot of good calls so far. Let's keep it going with Tony. Tony, you're up first.
Yes. I'm highly concerned. Like a scale of 1 to 10, I'm on about a 9. Because you can't have a rookie quarterback with a rookie offensive coordinator. And the reason being is because the thought process of the rookie coach is going to be, well, I can't give him all of the plays or the complicated plays that's in my arsenal, so I'm going to dial it back and play it safe. And that's not how you develop a quarterback. If you're an NFL quarterback, you have to play at an NFL level. And so his thought process is that I'm not going to give him all of the things that is capable in this offense because he's not ready for it yet. You can't play like that. Plus, at the same time, as an offensive coordinator, if your identity is the running game, you have to impose your will onto the other team and not play and let them impose their will onto you.
Well, Tony, that's why it's so crazy what happened against Carolina, because you did exactly that versus Minnesota. You did impose your will.
Okay, you impose your will on Minnesota because that was your identity, but you got away from your identity because you let the other team impose their will onto you.
No, Tony, I understand, and I thank you for the phone call. I got to run just because I got full bank of calls I got to get to here at 404-726-0929, but good stuff, and I appreciate your passion, Tony. Thanks for checking in. It doesn't matter. Because you also can't, Tony, here's the problem. You also can't do what you did in week one, which is just turn to the rookie quarterback as you were describing and say, okay, throw the ball 42 times. That's just not going to be a repeatable, successful formula for Michael Penix Jr. at this stage in his career. Maybe one day, but not right now, clearly. And Tony, to your point, the last 2 weeks, 13 of 21 for 135 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Last week, 18 of 36 for 172 yards and two turnovers. One of them a pick six. You can't have it. It's just blatantly unacceptable. 404-726-0929. Jake is up next. Jake, go ahead.
Hey, man. So I'm a little bit concerned about Michael Penix. A little bit. But I totally agree with you that right now is not the time to hit the panic button on him. Now's just not the time. There's a similar situation with a few key differences at the collegiate level of this little-known quarterback. A couple people have heard of him. Goes by the name of Arch Manning. Currently getting crucified by everybody because, similarly to Michael Penix, he came in at spots last year and showed flashes of greatness, and yet this year, as the bona fide starter, as the big man on campus, has looked nothing close to that, has been very lackluster at best, to put it mildly. Same thing with Michael Penix. And what I hope people don't start doing is talking about Michael Penix the same way that everyone's currently talking about Arch. There's still plenty of time throughout the season for him to show those flashes again. There's still plenty of time for him to figure it out, get his timing back, get everything back looking the way that we saw it last year. But it is a fair question to start asking now because, I mean, we got to go. That what just happened was embarrassing. But, you know, I really hope people don't start panicking and pulling the plug on him right away because there's still plenty of time for him to
show. No, Jake, you're right, and you're 100% right, and I appreciate the phone call. Here's the problem, though. You're right, Jake. Oren, to call it a must-win is not fair, but it feels that way.
They better,
with a UH. It feels that way, man. Especially if Marcus Mariota and Terry McLaurin don't play. If Jaden Daniels plays, okay, I mean, he's just better right now by a lot. So I don't really know what to say if he does. But if he doesn't and you lose, season's not over technically, but it will certainly feel that way. 404-726-0929. Ricky's up next. Ricky, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Turtle. A response to your question, I've been saying this on all day, and everybody keeps getting upset with me. I am hitting the panic button. I am, and I feel okay to say that. I'm hitting the panic button on Michael Penix. People keep saying, it's his sixth start. We know. We get it. We got it. But all I'm trying to say, and I think it's a fair point to try to make as a diehard Falcons fan, we live where we are in the football world now. I think you kind of already hit on it a little earlier. We need guys. The bar has already been set. Look at Jaden Daniels. Year one playoff. Year one. Nobody, it's his sixth start. He doesn't have the coaching. They got to the playoffs and almost went to the next round, if I remember correctly. Look at guys. Look at a Pat Mahomes. Look at a Lamar Jackson. Look at a Josh Allen. The quarterback position is your franchise. That is what you build off of. So I think it's very fair to say okay, it's his sixth start now, and everybody keeps saying, like the last caller, oh, well, if he gets his timing down, if he gets his mechanics down. My question simply is this. What if he doesn't? Just what if we live in a world where Michael Penix does not get it down? I was happy when he got drafted. I was perfectly fine with it. When so many people were pissed and upset, I was okay with it. But I'm like, okay, I guess we got our guy. But at what point, all I'm saying, do we say maybe this is not our guy and maybe we have to continue our search at quarterback? And I just want to know, I guess my question is to you, is at what point is it safe, is it totally safe to reevaluate the quarterback position?
Well, Ricky, I'll tell you what the answer is. Thanks for checking in. It's not, because Oren, here's what happens first. Before Michael Penix Jr. gets moved off as QB1, the entire coaching staff will get fired. So, Ricky, you won't have to worry about it, because there'll be a new coach, new offensive coordinator, and a new GM, in my opinion. And maybe a new defensive coordinator, depending on how Ulbrich does this year. If Michael Penix, if the scenario you just painted happens, and I guess nothing's off the table after what happened on Sunday, everybody's gone. That is mismanagement of the highest order, and I believe Arthur Blank will no longer tolerate it. Pretty simple, right? Steve is up next. Steve, go ahead.
Well, the problem was the headphones not working, but more than that, they were picking up the McDonald's drive-thru down the street.
Yeah.
So Penix didn't know the play, but he knew someone named Jim had ordered a Big Mac meal and an apple pie.
You're right. Listen, here's the thing. We joke, and I appreciate the phone call, but listen, here's the thing. That issue was resolved at 10-0. So we can joke around and we can, you know, make all the tongue-in-cheek and whatever, but that's no excuse, and Raheem didn't make it an excuse because it wasn't. You had the rest of the game to get back on track on offense, and you didn't do it. You failed in epic proportion. So if it was an issue for the whole game, I guess you still got to figure it out. But the fact that it was resolved, Steve, at 10-0, I'm sorry. It's just not good enough. Mark is up next. Mark.
Hey, Turtle, appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say love the show. I just want to get your thoughts on, you know, why are we not talking about the offensive line at all? I mean, every time Penix has went, you know, under center, before he could get his, you know, drop, he's got somebody in his face. When we're third and short and fourth and one and we go for it, you know, we're getting hit 2 yards deep in our backfield.
Here's why. I'll tell you, and thanks for the phone call. Thanks for checking in, Mark, and thanks for the kind words. Because the offensive coordinator needs to be able to game plan out of that. And that's why all the blame is going towards Zach Robinson right now. Again, Falcons offensive line, specifically up the middle, did not do great in weeks one and week three. Week two looked a whole lot better. Noticing a pattern here, by the way. But to Mark's point, you need to be, if that's happening during a game, again, what's the word we keep using, Mark? Adjustments. Zach Robinson made zero adjustments, like at all. So if the offensive line is struggling, you need to be able to scheme ways around it, whether that's moving to the opposite side with your running game, whether that's installing an extra tight end, whether that's running a heavy package, heavy personnel to try to get the running game going. There are certain things that you could do that are at your disposal. They didn't do them. Let's finish up with Allison. Allison, you're in the game.
Hey, good evening. How y'all doing?
What's up, Allison?
Love the show.
Thank you.
My issue is with what you just said. We have an offensive coordinator that doesn't know how to make adjustments. He also doesn't understand. I don't think he understands his quarterback strengths and weaknesses, and he doesn't game plan around that. Firing Ike Hilliard won't do anything to help this team. That's not, because I don't think that's the issue. We got wide receivers that can't get separation. You got an offensive line that basically can only hold up to the count of two. And I just don't think you use that. Zach is using his two biggest weapon in Bijan and Tyler to the best of their ability. And also he's not even looking to throw the ball to Pitts.
Nope.
I mean, it's a myriad of problems.
Well, Allison, you're 100% right. Great stuff. Appreciate the call. You know, Tyler Allgeier got one carry last game. One. I mean, what is that? Like, come on, people. At Allison's point, you have the best 1-2 running back duo in the NFL. Come on. One carry? I don't want to hear about game plan specific. Tyler Allgeier should never have one carry in a game. Get out of here. Great job by Allison and everybody else who called. 404-726-0929. If you didn't get in, feel free to tweet me at C Thomas Radio. I'll also be taking more of your calls coming up a little bit later in the show. When we get back, he was at the press conference today. Boots on the ground. Zach Robinson, Penix, and Ra all spoke. Will McFadden, senior writer, editor for AtlantaFalcons.com, was in the building. He'll tell me what he heard and saw next.